So mitochondrial disease occurs when the mitochondria themselves are not working properly. And so one of the symptoms or one of the things that can happen is that that energy production process can be broken down. So the cells or the mitochondria are not producing enough of that energy that the cells need. And the cells then starved of that energy and they don't function properly. And the organ system that those cells are a part of can then start to be compromised. And because we have the mitochondria all over our body, mitochondrial disease can cause symptoms in any organ system. It can cause symptoms at any age as well.
So it's not necessarily something you're born with?
Because it's a genetic disease, you are born with the genetic predisposition, but you don't necessarily show symptoms from day one. And this is one of the complex things about mitochondrial disease. It can affect children from birth, but it can also happen at what's called adult onset as well. So symptoms don't present until later in adulthood.
You've kind of hinted at the fact that it can manifest in different ways. What are some of the visible signs or symptoms that people who have it express?
Yeah, it does present in many different ways. And even within the same family where siblings have the same genetic change, it can present in vastly different ways. It can affect, as we said before, any part of the body, but typically those organ systems that are quite energy hungry. So your brain consumes a vast amount of energy. So symptoms are often presented related to neurological function or developmental delays, etc. We know it also can affect our large muscle groups. So people would have trouble with exercise intolerance or easily fatigued. It can also affect our heart, our gut, our eyes, our ears, our pancreas, our liver, etc. And patients who have significant or serious mitochondrial disease will often be presenting with multiple organ system issues. So some examples of that are they may have hearing loss, suffer from diabetes-like symptoms, and also have issues with their heart or something like that. So we know that that gets very serious as the disease progresses.
What made you interested in this area of health and research?
You know, I have a family connection with mitochondrial disease. We know now, going back for generations, but we first became aware of it when my brother, who was just 34 at the time, presented to hospital with what was thought to be a stroke, and that's quite unusual in an otherwise fit and young, healthy person. He just ended up at the right place where there was a person there who did the investigations, and it didn't show to be a classic stroke, so it wasn't presenting with the investigations that they'd done. It wasn't presenting to have the normal pathology. And then they looked into family history, etc., and saw that my mother had also been unwell, my grandmother had also been unwell, and her sister, etc. And so we're able to quickly identify that this wasn't indeed a traditional stroke, but was what's called a mitochondrial stroke or a stroke-like episode. So we knew that from the late 90s, and he presented with that, and then my family and I, we all got tested and diagnosed as having this genetic change that can cause the disease. And then, unfortunately, my brother passed away probably about a year after the Australian Mitochondrial Disease Foundation was established by our chairman, Doug Lingard, and one of the Australia's leading clinicians, Professor Carolyn Sue, who actually was caring for my brother. So I'd already been involved in the foundation, but my family's experience with my brother passing away and subsequently my mother passing away from mitochondrial disease really firmed my resolve to do whatever I could for this cause.
So it's taken a huge toll on your family. Is there a cure? Is there a way of treating this?
Largely no, unfortunately. There's not a lot of pharmacological treatments out there. We know that one of the things that is recommended to patients is really optimizing their health, making sure that they're extremely vigilant about nutrition, about rest, about minimizing or avoiding toxins, be those environmental, physiological or emotional stresses on their body, and really trying to plan for trying to keep this whole your body system just going in this even keel. One of the promising things that wasn't really as prevalent as we saw when we started the foundation 7 or so years ago, we're on the cusp, I feel, of some wonderful developments. There are a lot of drugs in clinical trial now, certainly more so than was the case 7 or so years ago. So I feel that we're on the cusp of some treatments, some pharmacological treatments. It is early days. It is a young field. It's a field in its infancy, this mitochondrial medicine. So we are certainly at the early stages of that. But it really feels like we're at the cusp of some good breakthroughs at the moment.
I want to ask you about one of the areas that is being researched around the world in this area, which is mitochondrial donation. Is that something that is being looked into, and is it a plausible option?
Mitochondrial donation is a preventative IVF technique, looking at preventing the transmission of some types of mitochondrial disease from an affected mother onto her child. And the way it proposed to work is looking at basically doing an organelle transplant as such. So if people are familiar with organ transplants, where somebody might get a heart transplant or a liver transplant, etc. The mitochondrial donation is really looking at transplanting this faulty mitochondria in an egg or an embryo with mitochondria from a donor, basically replacing the unhealthy mitochondria with healthy mitochondria from a donor, and therefore looking at minimizing the possibility of passing on the mitochondrial disease to the resulting child from that pregnancy.
It's quite a complicated issue, isn't it? I mean, in a family like yours where you know there is a prevalence, is that an option that you might consider in the future, or you think could help your family in the future?
One of the nuances about mitochondrial donation is that it would only be relevant for some mitochondrial diseases. You could argue it's roughly half. Half of them are caused by changes in the mitochondria themselves, and the other half are caused by changes in our nuclear DNA. So it's certainly something for my family, and it's possibly, you know, a little late for, say, my generation. My sisters and I have all had our children, but it's certainly something that might be relevant to the next generation in terms of looking at minimizing the risk of passing on this, you know, potentially terrible disease to their children.